KPCA LP, Petaluma, California, 103.3 FM. Petaluma, right here on Petaluma's homegrown radio station, KPCA. I'm Cindy Thomas, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Jason Davies and Janice Peter-Thompson.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello. And we have a guest with us today, Joanna Pong.
Hello.
Hey, Joanna. Talk to you so everybody can know your voice.
There we go.
Hey, Petaluma, it's Joanna Pond. How are you?
Good. Okay, happy Friday, everybody. So, what's new before we get started here?
Well,
I thought I'd just bring up about a movie that I saw yesterday.
Okay.
I like history, and it says, Thou Shall Not Grow Old. And it's actually a documentary about World War One. Peter Jackson has done the documentary. They took like 100-year-old film, and then they had to upgrade it. So it actually looks like a new movie. I mean, you can actually see what the people were. You saw the details of what these men went through.
Mm-hmm.
And as a dental hygienist, I could not believe how bad their teeth were. It was amazing.
And that was probably the least of their issues.
It was the least of their issues, but I was looking at, of course, infection and stuff. But, I mean, it's a worthy documentary to view. And then I just got the book, Hitler and the Habsburgs, and World War One started because of the Habsburgs being murdered. And so it's a really good documentary, but it's an hour and 36-minute movie. But then for 30 minutes, Peter Jackson talks about how they actually transformed the film and people speaking. So they had the voices of people from World War One talking about their experiences, and they overlaid that, and they tied everything together. And it's really a worthy documentary to see. It's a little bit brutal, though, so you might want to bring young children. I mean, it's extremely brutal.
Wow.
Yeah. So
how long is it? Is it a long
movie? It's an hour and 36 minutes, but then minutes of just showing how they actually transformed everything, the film and how they overlaid the voices and the documentation that they found. And it was specifically on, his grandfather was in World War One, and so it was from, the British viewpoint. Which was great, but I also have my great uncle was in World War One, and he is buried in Petaluma and died at a young age. And I'm not sure if it was because of the gas, mustard gas poisoning, but he enlisted and went into I want to say Belarus or something.
Yeah.
And so there's a connection to Petaluma with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was the name of the movie again?
It's Thou Shall Not Grow Old.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for that review.
Well,
you're welcome.
That's interesting. Well, on the subject of war, we have a Petaluma resident, actually, Henry Kaku, who's, you may have known him for doing origami. He's an origami genius. And he's a Petaluma resident, and he's going to be talking about the thousands of detainees who resisted being locked up in order to swear their unconditional loyalty to the U.S. This was during World War II. So on Saturday in Sebastopol, he's going to speak at the Day of Remembrance, hosted by Sonoma County Chapter of the Japanese American Citizens League. And that starts at 2 p.m. at the NMG Buddhist Temple on Gravenstein Highway South. It'll begin with screening of a one-hour documentary film, Resistance in Tule Lake. So that should be pretty interesting. So if you want to hear more about that, you can go on Petaluma 360. There's an article right there. But again, that's going to be on Saturday in Sebastopol, 2 p.m.
Petaluma had a large Japanese contingent living here.
Yep.
A lot of them were sent to their camps.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things I didn't like about FDR.
Right. No, exactly.
I mean, he did a lot of great things. That was one thing that was not so great.
Well, I just want to bring up one other thing, Jason, if you don't mind. There was also the paper, Petaluma World War II Veteran Dies in 93, and his name is Henry Studemeyer. And when you read the tribute about him, I mean, he really was a very young man when he went into the war. And he had quite a few Bronze Stars. It was, you know, it's kind of the juxtaposition of, you know, war, the positive and negative. So here we're talking about, you know, the Japanese, and then here is somebody in World War II. There's, it's tough to kind of meld them together, but it is part of what war is. But he was quite a decorated young man, and he was an orphan. So just another history.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was a gathering of activists to gear up for a climate emergency. This happened on the 13th, actually. 100 people gathered at Petaluma's bank hub. This is the old bank where the seed bank was. And so there was a presentation and discussion about Drawdown. It's an anthology of global warming solutions edited by their area environmental activist Paul Hawken. And so it was a very good gathering, and what it's basically about is what we can do on the local level to address this climate emergency that unfortunately we're not seeing addressed by some people that are still in denial, including our president. That was unfortunate. So there's a nice quote from Delinda Fisher, who's a new city council member. She talks about this as being the most important issue facing our city and humanity. This was actually a similar comment that our mayor, Teresa Barrett, made when she was on. And no joke, you know, we've got, you know, maybe 10 or 11 years to cut our emissions by 50% or more. And if we don't do that, this is going to really spiral out of control.
Well, I'm not sure if that would have actually risen to the top as much topic of conversation that we're having right now, except that Trump pulled us out of the Paris Accord. And I think that...
So that's the positive side.
That's the positive side of being pulled out. And, of course, it's negative that he did it.
Yeah.
But people are becoming more aware of it.
You know, the good news is that most of the candidates that are running, I think probably all of the Democratic candidates, are saying that on day one or thereabouts, the first thing they're going to be wanting to do is re-enter that Paris climate agreement.
Absolutely, as they should. Yeah.
So anyway, so but what's nice is that people locally are not sitting idly by. They're seeing what we can do, and the city is looking at what can happen in zoning to change things so that we can reduce emissions.
The other day, I went to the Know As You Grow discussion at the community center, and it was about on the Corona rail station and a development that's going to be there. And, you know, it seems like we do things half backwards in this town. We go and we get a presentation from the developer, and then there was a lot of discussion about, well, there was traffic, there's the fact that they have two-car garages, single-family homes, and yet it's a transit site, that you might want to have a little bit more higher density and maybe a single-car garage. And there's a lot of complications with the project, but it was really interesting to hear people's different points of view. And what the theme was is that people really did not like the fact that this project was so... was so car-oriented next to a transit site. And so I do believe that the developer is reaching out to some of the people that spoke that night.
Good.
And there was a lot of young people, and young people are moving to Petaluma, and they see things very differently. And I am thrilled that this is happening.
Well, especially if they've lived in places that aren't as nice. I mean, because I come from the, you know, South Bay.
Right.
And, I mean... what we have here is really a gem.
Well, we have what's here is a gem, but they're also looking at the direction how we're developing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're voicing their opinion on it. And you don't have to be a long-term Petaluman to be heard. And I just appreciate the younger people coming in with younger voices, and they've lived in other areas, and they're bringing those experiences to this community.
Yeah, I think it's good because, I mean, one thing I ran into, my experience when I first ran for city council, was a lot of other people that were running had never lived anywhere else but here.
Right.
And there's something to be said for that. I mean, that's great that you're from Petaluma, you know Petaluma, you're all about Petaluma, that's all great. But sometimes, though, you see things a different way when you've seen places that aren't as nice, when you've lived in places that aren't as nice.
Or and you have traveled and seen other areas for transportation,
exactly.
housing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I lived in Europe for 2 years. The bike system
exactly.
in Amsterdam, we talked about that before, is just unbelievable. And I come back and it's like, what?
Well, we keep talking about transportation and, you know, everybody wants bikes and bikes, you know, but
yeah.
Petaluma has not, our roads
no.
are not great. A friend of ours who, after the Know As You Grow forum, I happened to run into a friend of my daughter's, and I was telling her I was at this forum. Well, she lives close to the downtown station,
yeah.
so she's looking forward to taking the train to the Corona station
yeah.
so she can walk to Lagunitas. But there are no sidewalks.
Yes.
And so Petaluma has a lot of slowing down, looking at how we can actually accommodate people to get out of their cars.
Yeah.
yeah.
And that's
so, which is a good thing.
And the general yeah. plan, you know, stipulates that pretty well, but
implementation is a different story.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so stuff's going on. There's also a poll here on the, I don't know if you care about these polls ever on Petaluma 360.
Just remember that.
But there is one. Who would you support in the Democratic presidential primary? So that's a current one. The last one has to do with the housing, but there's a bunch of polls here.
Well, I found it interesting that there was a poll on the CASA,
yeah.
but yet CASA agreement, which is about housing for
yeah.
the state,
yeah.
And the council hasn't even had a discussion about it, but they had a Pulse of Petaluma poll on CASA before the council even discussed it. And when you look at these numbers, it's like, you know, very few people even understand or know what the CASA agreement is.
Probably no point in mentioning these polls unless they arrive at a conclusion that we like.
Exactly. Non-scientific.
And there's an article on saving Petaluma-Schoenberger Park. We did talk about this last week, but just as a reminder, there's an event coming up on Monday, this coming Monday, February 25th at 5 p.m. Find out all about it at SaveSchoenberger.com, or you can go to InsidePetaluma.com. We had a link there, but that's coming up. That's going to be next Monday.
And where is that?
And that's at the Riverfront Cafe, which, if you're not familiar with that name, that used to be the Apple Box. So it should be good. It's also for kids. There's going to be entertainment for kids as well as adults.
Benedetti will be there.
Yes, Benedetti will be there. It's a popular local radio show host, actually. He has a show on KPCA. And this is a puppet show, which includes music and what they call all-around silliness, so that should be fun. There's going to be some appetizers and wine. It's only $20, and it's going to a great cause. There's also going to be a sitar player who also plays ukulele. That's Gabby Lala. And then some upbeat dance tunes is what they're saying in the press here is Hill Williams Group at 7 p.m. So, yeah, don't miss it. That's going to be a lot of fun. Monday, February 25th, 5 p.m. at the Riverfront Cafe.
And where do you get tickets?
And you can get tickets at the Mail Depot, yes. Or you can buy them online.
Yeah.
Yeah, go see Mo.
But if you go to the Mail Depot, you don't have to pay a service charge.
And you can buy them at the event.
And
so.
You can talk to Mo.
And
exactly.
you can talk to Mo.
That's exactly right. We should have Mo on the show, I think.
We should.
She's been in here when I've done my Thursday night show, and she sits over there in the chair, and I'm like, come on, come over here and get on the
mic. She's
shy.
I asked her about it.
Yeah. She's not shy otherwise.
No.
And that's on 44th Street is where the Mail Depot is. So. Anyway, so yeah, that ongoing struggle against the asphalt plant, it's not over. We're still fighting for that. So anyway, maybe we should
introduce our guests.
Yeah, well, I'm happy you guys brought me up to date on all the current events. I feel like I've been under a rock for 2 weeks. I'm doing a remodel at home, and it's been hell. I mean, I actually have to get up and put clothes on at 8 o'clock in the morning. And for a retired person, that's a lot of work. So, anyway, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Joanne, being here today.
Thank you for having me.
We have Joanna Pond from a newly elected to the Board of Education
mm-hmm.
here in Petaluma. Congratulations.
Yay.
And thank you for being here.
Yeah. Petaluma School District, Petaluma High.
You are one of three new school board members.
Yes.
We had a whole new school.
Sweet.
Yeah. Good job.
People get telling us, like, just don't expect to win, or maybe one of you guys, but it's really hard to unseat an incumbent. So I was just talking to Maddie last night. We're like, all three of us.
It's really great. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
And
but,
I know signs, you can't go by signs, but I really like your sign.
Right?
Like, the design
isn't
is really
pretty?
Super cool. Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, oh boy, yeah. I love the sign.
And what was nice, they were yard signs instead of these big monster signs on businesses. So
yeah.
It was great.
But it's beautiful. I mean, look at that.
My friend is a graphic designer. And she's like, I've done these big things. I can make you one. And she configured it, like, especially for signs, for, like, little postcards. So she really hooked me up. So I'm that lucky.
So if you go to her website, which is alexjoannapon.com, you can see the graphic we're talking about. But it's a series of hands of different silhouettes of different colors and one red one in the middle with a heart. And it says, for progress in Petaluma. It just struck me as a very positive and progressive message, and that was before I even met you.
So tell us,
about yourself.
What drove you to run for an elected seat?
I think it's a long story.
We've got 45 minutes left.
Well, okay. I'll start with the beginning. So after 12 years of being at home, I went back to work. As a school counselor at Kenilworth Junior High School here in town. And actually, it took me 6 years to get my degree, as an aside. For everyone out there, like, you can do it. Just
stick
one class at a time. I went into the program with 3 kids, and I came out with 4.
Wow. That doesn't always happen.
Been studying that one.
Sex education.
Yeah, take a break, right?
Yeah, you got a break.
Yeah, actually, so funny. I found out I was pregnant with my 4th one the day before classes started. I was like, okay, it's going to be a longer road than I thought. But anyway, so I worked at Kenilworth for 2 years, and then I was let go for no reason.
Yeah.
And typically, so since we're on the teacher's contract, the counselors, you can let a teacher go within 2 years. Typically, like, the person sees it coming, they have a bad evaluation, or they're kind of spoken to. I didn't have any of that. I had 3 excellent evaluations, and they just said I wasn't a good fit. I still, to this day, don't know why. It's been a year.
Interesting.
Yeah, I have no idea why. And so,
Look at you now.
Look at me now.
Yeah.
So, you know, they say you should resign. And I was like, but if I resign, then no one will know I was fired. Like, I wanted everyone to know.
Right.
You know, because
You felt it was wrong.
I knew it was wrong, and I also just didn't want to let them off easy. I didn't want to let the district or my site off easy. It's like, you can't just fire me for no reason. I didn't feel like it was right. So I ended up going before the school board, and there was a reporter there, and he wrote a story, and so then it kind of caught the attention of the town.
Yeah.
And so then... my friend Kamala Brown, she's an Indivisible Petaluma. She's like, you know what you should do? And she, of course, she does not remember this. She's like, you know what you should do? You should run for school board. And I was like, no, there's no way. But then over the series of the next couple months and some other things that happened, I decided, yeah, you know, I'm just as qualified as anyone else. I have a background in education. I have kids in this town. And I saw it as a way to advocate for all the kids in this town, not just at one site. So,
Well, it sounds like you had a lot of the parents and students behind you.
Mm-hmm.
There's an article in the paper from March 2nd of 2018 that goes over that. So you never did find out why, though. It was just interesting.
Yeah.
Well.
How many kids do you have?
I have 4.
4? Mm-hmm. What are their ages?
I have twins that are 14. An 11-year-old and a 6-year-old.
Oh,
mm-hmm. They're all girls.
So the daughter that I have met, is she the twin?
Yeah, she's one of the twins.
Oh, she is one of the twins.
Yeah.
So she's four. Oh, okay, because I didn't realize. I was thinking the 11-year-olds were twins.
Yeah,
oh, I'll be darned.
Yeah. Oh. So she comes with me to everything, and she's met Janice on multiple occasions.
I adore her.
So obviously you have a passion for working with kids and mm-hmm. working in the school as a counselor. Would you say that your termination, would you basically say that that was kind of the impetus then for you running for school board?
Yeah.
So you hadn't really thought of it before, and this was what did it? And
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how is it so far?
So far, it's good. I mean, we haven't had any scandals yet. I mean, I'm realistic. I know that people aren't going to be happy with you all the time or with every decision that you make, so...
for now, I'm happy. I feel like everything's going well. We communicate well with other board members, and thankfully the teachers have a contract that was agreed upon before we came in. It was just like ratified and finalized at the last board meeting. So we're starting off like on a really good foot, I feel.
So. Just in case people don't realize, Joanna is our first African-American elected official in Petaluma.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. And hopefully looking forward to more more of a multicultural elected officials, because we're still a pretty white town.
Bill, on your website, you mentioned the statistic, approximately 40% of Petaluma School District students are non-white.
Yes.
However, this demographic reality is not reflected in the school board, district school administrators, and staff. Students need to have tangible examples of men and women of color in positions of leadership. That's an excellent point you made.
Yes.
Now, that's no longer the case because you're on there, and well, we have two other women that were just elected, but you would be the only person of color still.
It's sad. Like, when I think about all of the students at Kenilworth, so when all this was going on, against it was publicized, and I was at Kenilworth for 3 more months after I was let go. And I had so many parents and students come up to me, and they're like, who does my daughter have to look up to now? And this wasn't just the black parents. It was Latino, it was Indian, Asian. They're like, my daughter, like, had an example of a person of color in a position of power.
Yeah.
Like, what now? And then they were like, you know, if Miss Pond's not a good fit, that's what their kids were saying to their parents. Well, if Miss Pond's not a good fit at Kenilworth and everyone loves her, then what does that say about me? And I was like, oh, I didn't even think about that.
Wow.
So it had a lot of far-reaching implications, I think, that people didn't even think about or consider or care about. So,
What were some of the things that were surprising to you when you were running for school board? Anything pop out?
How much time? Okay.
Well, we got about 40 minutes.
I was exhausted. I was so tired.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, every day, an hour or two a night at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the forums, which I actually really enjoyed more than I thought I would. I'm not really a public speaker. I mean, now I'm kind of forced into that. But I didn't have time to prepare because, like I said, I have 4 kids. I work full time. Those forums, it'd be me coming straight from work or maybe going home for like half an hour, like throwing on some lip gloss and going straight to wherever I needed to go.
And the questionnaires.
Then a lot of times I didn't even have time to like review what I wanted to say. So I just got up there and I was like, I don't have time. I just kind of answered authentically, and thankfully people responded to that. So
did you find that it got easier the more you...
The first couple minutes.
The more comfortable you were with public speaking.
Yeah. In the first couple minutes, I'd be nervous. I'm like, oh, I got this. Like, yeah, it was good. But that was surprising, the time, and then how much I enjoyed the forums.
You belong to a church, and I believe a lot of people at your church supported you.
Yes.
And can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So my pastor, so I go to Village Baptist Church. It's here in town. It started off in Marin City 60 years ago, and they just recently moved up here about 4 years ago.
And where are they located?
So the original building burned down in Marin, so they are in the process of selling the land, but in the meantime, before they can find a property here, we meet on Cypress Drive, I think it's called? 3835 Cypress Way.
Okay.
So it's an office complex, and they converted a couple of the office suites into a church. So it's really fun. We have a good time every Sunday at 11 o'clock. But, yeah, so my pastor, he is native of Nigeria, and he's lived in Petaluma for, like, 40 years, been our pastor for a long time. And, yeah, they were very supportive. He came to the first board meeting, and there was another board meeting because I feel like they violated the Brown Act. We had to go back, and he spoke at both of those meetings. But, yeah, very supportive.
It's nice to have a community.
Yes.
Yes. And now your community is getting larger.
Yeah.
Yours has just expanded.
Yes.
How long have you lived here?
13 years.
Okay.
So far, how are you finding the work, school board, kids kind of balance? Is it proving to be
It's
difficult, easy?
No, it's actually not as hard as I thought it was going to be. I mean, based off the election, I was like, my life's never going to slow down, but it has. So, I mean, there's a board meeting coming up on Tuesday, so then we'll get the minutes today, have time to review them, ask questions, then also think about things that we want to propose as well. And then in the midst of that, there's board trainings, like there's one tomorrow up at the County Office of Ed, and then there's parents contacting us. And so it's not, I guess I should say, not as much as I thought it was going to be. It's manageable.
How many emails do you get from parents? I know on a city council you can get hundreds and thousands on issues. What about the school board?
Again, not as many as I thought. Maybe...
We'll fix that.
One or
What's
two
your email address again?
until there's a scandal, right? Like,
right,
with Lulabelle or, you know, just something that people are unhappy with.
Right.
But I think it's good. Like, let your voice be heard. I tell people, they come to me, I'm like, you need to, if you are not finding success at the site level, at the district level, go to the board. You elected us. You put us in office. You have a say.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
We're talking with Joanna Pond right here on Inside Petaluma, KPCA 103.3 FM in Petaluma. Speaking of Lulabelle, what was your thoughts about that whole issue?
If you had just let the girl speak,
this
would not have even happened. I just don't understand. There's a lot of things I don't understand. Like, by pulling her mic, like, what did you expect would happen?
Yeah.
Like, you amplified her voice even more. People are going to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you pull her mic? Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And they start digging deeper. Well, is this a problem on campuses?
Yeah.
What is happening in the schools? They just open themselves up. I mean, it's bad that they did it, but it also shed light on a lot of issues.
Did you attend any of the following school board meetings?
Yes. The first one, I was in Vegas. So I was texting people like, what's going on at the meeting? And then there was a second one, and I attended that one.
Yeah.
And that's when there were a lot of teachers there in support of the administration.
Mm.
So I was like, whose side are you on? I'm like, I'm just here to observe.
Because
I knew that I was potentially running for the board.
Smart answer.
And I was just like, I'm just here to see what's going on.
I went to both of those meetings,
and
I was pretty surprised at how many teachers got up and actually supported what the board did.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have thought that maybe they should stop, pause, because you really don't know what exactly happened.
Yes.
Well, I mean, on one hand, I guess there's rules in a school, and the rules were you submit your script, your speech, and you're not to deviate from this, and if you do, you know, I don't know if they told them their mics would be cut. I think they might have. I'm not taking their side. I'm just saying, like, maybe some of the teachers felt, well, you know, these were the rules, and she disobeyed them. But the problem is the result. It totally backfired. If they had just let her say what she was going to say, it probably would have been fine. I don't think she outed this person by name. I think that's what the school...
It was a sexual assault.
Yeah, but I don't think that she, in her statement... Because remember, she posted a video of what she wanted to say.
She was not outing anybody.
No,
she
but they were...
say something and that we will something. I can't really...
But I think that was their worry. I think that was the administration's worry and that there'd be some sort of legal exposure issues about that because the person has to be anonymous because it's a minor.
There was also an issue about how she became the valedictorian.
Well, that's
true,
too.
She had to fight to become valedictorian
because
the rules were changed and it wasn't the highest GPA. And so her and her mother had to fight with the school district to make her the valedictorian because they changed the rules that you had to submit a letter. And then the letter that you submitted would be, you'd be chosen.
Yeah.
Well, that's not how it should have happened. So it seemed like there was some inside dealing with the valedictorian. So there were multiple layers of problems that the school, I believe, created.
She came in as our guest on August 31st of 2018, last year. If anyone wants to hear that interview, it's pretty interesting. Lulabelle is a very, very interesting person, very bright. And she addresses some of these things. So if you go to InsidePetaluma.com, you can go to the archives and you can hear episode 4.
Yeah. I mean, she's at Stanford, and she's doing well. And when she went to Stanford, you know, for the first few days, everybody in the freshman class was there. Everybody knew who Lulabel Sides was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. I actually invited them over to my house after this happened. So her and her dad are at my house, and I'm sitting there. I'm going, I'm not exactly sure what we're going to be talking about, but let's get to know each other.
Yeah.
And her mom is Filipino, so she looks Filipino. Her dad is Caucasian. And it's just a very interesting family, but she is truly a bright young lady. She comes home, I believe, I'm not sure how often she's coming home, but she teaches music. And so Lulabel, going to school, getting top grades, she also supported herself by teaching music.
Yeah, piano
lessons. Students. Yeah, exactly. I mean, she's an amazing remarkable, young, yeah. she's a remarkable
Let's have her
young
an
woman.
Example for our school. Why try to keep her from being
I don't know if they learned.
Not only that, she's so bright. I can't see her getting up in front of that mic and saying anything that would...
Her speech was amazing. And until they cut her off, it was like, whoa.
Yeah. Instead, they cut the mic, and everybody who was purchasing a videotape of that graduation ceremony now has a...
Very
sad commencement.
It wasn't just local or national. It made world news.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in the end, it might have been a great thing for Lulabel in terms of exposure and for the issues because it got out there more. Mm-hmm. But obviously, it would have been better if she'd just been able to speak.
She had never been to a city council meeting and was never interested in politics. And so her dad brought her to a city council meeting. So the three of us were sitting together.
Her dad
decided to leave, and she wanted to stay. So I was going to drive her home, but her dad ended up picking her up.
Mm-hmm.
But she was really interested in politics. And so all of this has really broadened her horizon also, but she is exceptionally bright.
Yeah. Well, also the students and parents in town, they're like, what's Title IX?
Yes.
What
want to get into it? Because on your website, that's one of your first issues that you bring up is Title IX. So maybe you want to talk about that briefly.
So I was the Title IX officer at Kenilworth. It was the two administrators and the two counselors. So then the students were supposed to come to us to report any sexual harassment. But I'm like, do they know what Title IX is? Do they know what that means?
No.
I know at that site, once a year, they talk to kids for 45 minutes about sexual harassment. And so a lot of times, you know, students would come to me like, well, do you want to just like, oh, Ms. Pond, this person's bothering me. I'm like, well, that sounds like sexual harassment. So then I'd, again, explain to them what that was.
Hmm.
Again, these are 7th and 8th graders.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should do something about it. And they're like, no, we're scared. And so a lot of times I was trying to convince them, like, this is how, you know, this is how you report. This is how we will protect you. These are things you need to speak out about. These are your rights. So I felt like I was doing a lot of that education one-on-one with the students, but overall they did not know about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we need to do a better job of educating parents and students about their rights. You know, under Title IX, I know Title VI has come up a lot as well recently with Demetra Smith with Save Your Six and the Human Rights Commission.
Can you define what the Title VI is?
I'm on the spot right now.
Basically,
it's basically saying it's illegal to discriminate against kids in school based on their race, ethnicity, gender, sexual identity. And so she has a website where it's very clearly laid out. It's called Save Your Six. In Teaching Tolerance, they just featured them on their website. They have a whole article about Save Your Six. So, and she spoke at the Women's March as well. Very powerful speaker. So.
And you spoke.
I did.
Yeah, that was great.
Thanks.
It was a great event.
It was good. Very. I feel like I was like riding on a cloud for weeks after that. It was a really good event.
Well, to us, you're still right on that cloud.
Yeah.
We want to keep it and keep going. So you were working at St. Vincent's.
Yes.
So talk about St. Vincent's and what kind of a culture is there as far as, you know, students.
I went into that school with a lot of preconceived notions. You're a bunch of spoiled, rich, white kids. And that's not the case. I mean, there's that everywhere. But for the most part, I want to say about 25% of our kids receive financial aid. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of families that work really hard and sacrifice to send their kids to the school. We actually just got the results this morning of some surveys that we did. And they choose the school, even though, you know, it's expensive and they have to work hard, because it's a small environment. There's maybe like 250 kids there. And so for the academic opportunities that they have there and for the sports. It's a small school. It's very different than public school. Like, if I want to do something, like, hey, can I do this? But there's a cost. Like, I want to go to this conference that's like $200. It's like, okay, it's approved. Instead of going through, like, series of approvals.
Right, right.
So, yeah, nice.
There's a quote here that from you, and this is on the Petaluma 360, the Argus Courier, from November 18th, 2018. It has to do with your qualification. I think this is a pretty good statement, and actually it resonated with a lot of voters, including myself. And so the more I thought about it, I figured I was just as qualified as anyone else. I worked in the schools. I have kids in the schools. I feel like I have qualifications for it. When I was looking at the older school board, mm-hmm. I was feeling like there was kind of a shortage of people mm-hmm. that actually had experience working
yes.
in schools.
Yes.
That was a huge factor in my decision to vote mm-hmm. for you as well as Maddie and Caitlin.
School board, there seemed to be a tradition mm-hmm. that there was always an opening that they would appoint somebody.
Yeah.
And so for probably 20 some odd years, people were appointed, and it was like they were like the anointed ones mm-hmm. to now run and be on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how people continued getting on this school board.
I mean, I don't want to disparage the previous school board incumbents that are no longer on the school board. I would just say that I felt it would be good to have new school board members that actually had experience working in schools, as opposed to being in business or being an attorney or police officer or what have you.
Well, it was interesting listening to their going away speeches.
Departing remarks.
Departing remarks. Two of them were very disappointing, but I have to say Phoebe
Ellis.
She was very gracious,
mm-hmm.
and I'm hoping that she still stays involved.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then she wrote a letter to the editor that wasn't quite as gracious, and I kind of wish she wouldn't have, only because mm-hmm. she really raised herself to a very high
yeah.
level.
Yeah.
And I do believe that she really does care. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people I've talked to, they say she's a very nice person.
Yeah, that's what I always hear about Phoebe, how nice she is.
How nice she is.
Yeah.
I always hear that, too. And mm-hmm. so I really think her departing remarks were heartfelt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that's a hard seat to sit in. I was sitting there watching them like,
yeah.
that could be me in 4 years.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was another, there was an editorial opinion piece about ending negativity by one of the experts.
Sherry Klobowski.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
That was a little disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's tough. No one likes to lose.
But also, even that day, you know, she even said she hadn't prepared anything. She wrote something down, tore it up. So she just kind of just free-flowed.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the editorial is what she wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would have come across better. I mean, even though, you know, she had some, what's the word? Some criticisms.
They were a little harsh.
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah.
When she spoke, it was harsh.
Mm-hmm.
But also her piece was very harsh.
Yeah.
I agree, but I feel like if she had just spoken, like, the written,
mm-hmm.
I think it would have come across maybe better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I do thank them for their service, though. They put in a lot of years.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But we're excited to have three new school board members. And how are you getting along with Caitlin and Maddie?
Fine. We're going to carpool tomorrow to the training.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, like I said, I spoke with Maddie.
Helps with the climate
yesterday.
Change issues.
Yeah, exactly. Maddie's always the first. Let's carpool. Let's go up together.
So what is the forum exactly? Is it learning about tomorrow?
Yeah. So the Sonoma County Office of Education, they do a lot of classes. So they have, it's called Board Member Boot Camp.
Okay, good.
So
we learn about legal issues,
yeah.
Brown Act, all,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot. And we had a new member training. I want to say it was in December. Caitlin had just found out she was on the board.
Right.
So they didn't even have like a name card for her.
Oh, right.
It just happened. And And then they have one specifically for the Brown Act next month.
Okay, good.
Just addressing that.
So what do you have at the top of your priority list for things to get done while you're on the board?
I mean, we brought up Title IX. I would just like to see just clearer, like, not Title IX, but, like, here's how to support, here's how to report sexual harassment. Here's what it is. Just make it clear for the students, because there is a lot of sexual harassment, and they don't realize when a boy is repeatedly asking you for pictures, nude pictures on your phone, that's sexual harassment.
Yeah.
It's not just normal behavior.
That happened to my daughter.
Are you kidding? How old is she?
Well, she's 17 now, but this happened a few years ago. She might have been, maybe she was 14 or something at the time.
And I thought it was seventh graders.
It was another kid her age, and he basically asked for a nude picture sometime.
God.
And she said no, as far as I know, as far as she told me.
Yeah.
But it happens, and the thing is, it's really strange, because we didn't have that technology when I was a kid, but I don't even remember ever thinking about asking a girl for something like that when I was a kid. And I don't know if something's changed now, if that's considered more normal or something, but
it's been normalized for sure.
I don't get the dick pic thing either. I do not understand why anyone would ever want one of those. I don't get it.
Kelly's just mouthed to me, what is a dick pic?
Oh, sorry.
Maybe you better send her one.
Is that something I can't say on the air? But it's,
are there pictures of penises?
Yeah. Yes.
You remember Anthony Weiner?
Yeah.
Not to go there.
Yeah.
But he was famous for it. But, I mean, it's a thing that people do, apparently, and I just don't get it. But
actually,
anyway.
I had a girl at work that would show pictures, and I just couldn't believe that she would put these on her phone and show them to other people. And then one time I had to write something on my computer, and I was trying to bring something up. It was a medical issue.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there was an entire different penises up on the screen at work.
There might be an app for that. That's over the top.
Oh, yeah. I know people where I used to work that got fired.
Well, I went to my employer and I said, this is what happened. I don't know how it happened exactly. I just, put something in because I was researching something. It was for something for medical.
I mean, I guess it's an exhibitionist kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that people that do that must somehow be getting, someone must be giving them positive reinforcement for it or something, right? Do they think it worked? I don't know. Anyway, maybe I'm
weird,
able to get that stuff. But yeah, but that's what
I wasn't expecting that.
But back to the point.
Okay, back to your priority.
So safety, and if people are being harassed, that's a serious thing. I didn't mean to make light of that by going off on this tangent. But you have a list of things on your website, actually. This is my little cheat sheet here. Teacher pay was another issue
that
you had. And I think some of the friction between the unions and the school board that had been happening over the past few years, I think that was also a motivator in people wanting some fresh faces.
Well, yeah, and in relation to the teacher pay, so, there was the strike in 2017.
Right.
Because it just took so long negotiating, and the district negotiating team was not working well with the teacher negotiating team with the union. And so there was a series, years-long events led up to this strike. So that's why it was almost like a miracle that this new contract got negotiated within like 6 months. But there is a new chief negotiator. He's the new head of HR, Matt Thomas. Not the Matt Thomas, I'm sorry. I'm looking at you thinking Thomas, Matt Harris.
Oh, okay.
He was on last week. I think he was on Rabbi Ted's show last week.
Okay.
So he is wonderful. He was the principal at McKinley and Pax, the charter school. And so now he is head of HR for the district. So he led that team on the district side. And people are really crediting him with moving the ball forward.
So one of the things I kept hearing from some of the other candidates that didn't win was, we're spending a lot of time going to Sacramento, asking for money. Is that something you're still talking about doing, or is that even a thing to do?
It's a thing, but there's like set days.
Right.
Like you don't just show up in Sacramento. Like they have, the union actually was there just this past week.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go to your congressperson and you, hey, you know, would you support this bill?
Yeah.
Would you support, you know, these things that could help us get this type of funding?
They're expecting you there because they're set dates, and so there are certain things you can say, and there's certain things that they don't want you to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I went to one locally. It was like, I guess, like my first little dip in my toe in the pool of politics. After my first year at Kenilworth, the librarian there, she's very politically involved, and so she asked me to sit down with Senator McGuire and talk to him.
Great.
Isn't he?
Matt McGuire is really good.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was
Mike McGuire. They're both good.
And so we were talking to him about supporting funding for students who had ACEs, you know, adverse childhood experiences, basically childhood trauma. So, yeah.
It's important. Now, a lot of children have trauma that people don't realize. They don't recognize it.
Yes.
So it's been going on for ever.
Forever.
Yeah.
So it sounds like there's some prospects of maybe getting more money for education with Newsom. There's a couple of things he's working on. $80.7 billion for K through 14 education. So I don't know if you're keeping on that, but that's pretty interesting.
Well, we have Chris Thomas. She is the chief business official.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, like, she stays on top of that. Sorry, Janice.
Making faces.
Maybe we laugh, Janice. This is my moment.
Anyway, so being on the school board is pretty funny, isn't it?
People kept telling me you're going to have a lot of fun. You're going to meet a lot of great people. So I guess I'll use Janice as my example. Yes, that is all true.
Well, I adore you.
So now we have a love fest.
I want to talk about Prop 13 reform. Because you know that is
so infuriating.
Well, and with Prop 13, they're talking about doing reform with building.
For commercial.
I mean, like Chevron. They don't pay any taxes.
Amazon.
Exactly.
Disneyland.
Disneyland, Chevron, they're all great examples because they've had those properties for decades, and that is a real problem. Yeah. We get a lot more money for our schools.
Yes. Yeah. And so I believe that that's going to come up again in the 2020 election.
I believe so.
Yeah. And so that would be huge for schools to get money.
And keep us, you know, posted on what you find out is going to be happening so we can talk about it on the show because I think it's very important for Prop 13 to be revised for business properties.
Mm-hmm.
So another issue you mentioned was professional development. Teachers, counselors, and support staff spend their days nurturing our children. Professional development enables them to stay up to date in the profession.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another issue you were championing.
Well, and lately there's been a lot of talk about anti-bias training for everyone, district on down to, I mean, just everyone who works in the school. You're interacting with kids. I had someone come to me because she felt like her son was being targeted because he had a do-rag on. Mm. Traditionally, like, you wear that when you're working out, or it's become more of, like, a fashion statement. Mm-hmm. And he was told that he looked ridiculous, and he's just culturally expressing himself. Or, you know, on, like, spirit days, like, okay, let's wear all pink or all white. And these kids are wearing bandanas. And, like, there's nothing said, but someone else could have a bandana on another day. It's like, oh, that's gang affiliation.
So... yeah, that's a tricky one because I kind of see the other side of that is that we don't want people accidentally mistaken as gang members and then attacked. I mean, is that a thing? Is that a real concern? Because every time I hear the point on the other side, it kind of resonates a little. It's like, well, yeah, I don't. I mean, if these are, quote, gang colors and a rival gang thinks that these students are rival gang members, but is that even...
I don't know. I mean, I don't know about on the junior high level. I really don't.
Too young?
Yeah, I think so. And but also, it could be anything like in the dress code. You're not supposed to wear like red shoes. But I had like white kids come up to me like, Miss Paul, look at my new red shoes.
Why red shoes? I don't get that.
Because again, like the colors, red and blue.
Because of the gang thing.
So, and they would tell me, they're like, and they were like, it's kind of messed up. Like, I can wear these shoes. But, you know, someone who's Latino can't. Like, and they recognized it.
Wow.
Or, like, they would be called out for wearing red, but someone else wouldn't. So.
Maybe we should just all wear red shoes.
Yeah, red shoes. Or they have, like, red shoelaces.
Or how about red and blue shoes?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Then we get shot by both.
It was more red. If you were wearing red.
I don't want to be a target. I like the idea of people being able to wear whatever they want, but I don't want someone thinking my kid's a gang member and shooting them.
They probably won't. I feel like there's a lot outdated. Or if you're going to do it for one, do it for all of them.
Yeah. Well,
it was more of a gang problem, I believe, in the past.
Yeah, maybe like 10 years ago.
Yeah, so. I mean, it might have been more than 10 years ago.
Okay.
And it was pretty. It existed.
Mm-hmm.
And what you see now is you're just not seeing that. And I feel like that's when you have to really stop, pause, and think about the rules that were set up. And I'm kind of curious why we're not seeing that as much. And I think people are becoming more educated.
Well, don't you think, too, that maybe it was kind of a trendy thing for the kids? They didn't know any better, and they just see the stuff on the movies and decide, that character was red, so I'm going to wear red.
People were actually, they were affiliated with
it. Yeah, some of them were. I know some of them were, but I don't think all of them. I don't think we had that many gang members in this community.
Well, sometimes it does become a fashion thing. Yeah. I mean, for a while, the baggy pants thing was, I mean, that started as a prison thing. That's actually where it started.
Yeah.
All I want is, like, belts in my bag.
I tell kids all day long, put your bag.
Take a belt.
I don't care what it is. I feel like I'm being an old, get off my lawn, an old man or something that's not hip to the times.
No, I don't care. I'm an old
people's underwear.
Well, it does make it hard to walk across the street quickly. It can be a safety hazard.
This is the thing. In case you're ever being chased by somebody, you can't run because
it's a safety hazard.
Yeah, I agree.
And on the subject of safety, actually, you have a good point here. I love this sentence here. It says, this means, you talk about safety of our children and school staff is of utmost importance. We need to make certain that our facilities are safe for all members of the school community. I mean, who can argue with that? Safety includes emotional safety because learning cannot take place when students and staff feel anxious or at risk. But what's great about this is you talk about it's not a one-size-fits-all solution, and your end sentence, which I love, is this means avoiding fads and unproven methods and instead informing ourselves with careful needs assessment and with the knowledge of evidence-based practices. So evidence-based, that's a good
thing. Kind of like the Pulse of Petaluma, evidence-based, not,
facts are good.
And that are good. Facts are good. So much data talking about trauma, and now we have a Surgeon General of the state, right? Nadine Burke-Harris, who's done a lot of work and research about trauma-informed care with kids.
Right.
So, we need more mental health. Like, we have mental health professionals in the school.
Yes.
We need more.
You mentioned that here.
The counselors, they would have us, do a lot of it. And it's like, we do not have that same certification. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have, the basic, but we don't have, that deeper level. And it's also discussion, is it our job to do mental health in school? I don't know, yes or no. Kids go through a lot, and there's times they do need someone to talk to. Sometimes it's a 15-minute problem. Sometimes it's, 30 minutes for 2 or 3 weeks.
My cousin works at the girls' middle school in Palo Alto, and, it's privileged. Children that go there, but they also have a lot of people on scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the counselor there. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really important that a child can actually feel comfortable going in and talking about a counselor, what's happening to them, whether it's in their home or by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to have that opportunity and feel safe.
Yes.
And the school environment should be safe for children or young adults to be able to talk about it, because it definitely impedes your ability to learn. It takes... everything kind of starts at home, and we always expect the schools to fix everything.
Right. Yeah.
But when stuff starts at home, whether it's just sayings about other people, and I'll just give a quick incident. The other day I was talking to an acquaintance of mine, a sister-in-law of mine, and we were talking about something, and she said, "Well, they try to Jew you down." Well, being Jewish, that, you know, I mean, it was really, it all starts at home somewhere, and it was very hurtful, but I'm white.
Sometimes people say that, they don't even realize
what
they're saying.
Oh, she realizes it immediately, believe me.
I would be offended. I'm not Jewish. Like, I'm offended by that. Like,
but it's... But I'm also white, and so I don't experience other things that people of color experience.
Now, what's disgusting is how stuff like that can enter the vernacular, and people sometimes saying it don't even understand where it came from, like Indian giving, or, you know, that, all this kind of stuff.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be the one to wrap it up here, I guess.
That sounds good.
I want to thank Joanna Pond for being with us here today. We've had Joanna with us this hour on Inside Petaluma, and I think we had a good discussion.
That's a great discussion. I want to actually make sure that you come back so we can actually follow up on a lot of stuff.
Okay. Okay, I do have an announcement to make. I want to let the listeners know that we are having a Diamond Donate for PCA coming up on March 6th, and it will be at Mary's Pizza, the Westside Mary's, which is near the CVS store.
Yes.
And I'd like to invite the community to come and join the PCA staff and KPCA programmers and our board of directors. Will all be coming in and out during the day and enjoying the delicious Mary's food.
Yeah, it's not just pizza. They make all kinds of stuff.
Yes, they do.
Yeah,
have a
good vegetarian. I don't eat gluten, and I always
find
that
they have gluten-free pizza
too, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yep.
Soups are good.
And their salad.
And what is it? Is it 15%?
So yeah, 15
breakfast.
Yeah, 15% from your total bill will come back to us here at PCA. So that we can continue operating. And the thing you have to do, though, is you have to either go to our website and have a copy of the flyer on your phone to show it to them, or you can print it out and bring the flyer in, but you got to have the flyer for us to get the 15%.
So. That's good to know.
And you can also do takeout or delivery. You don't have to eat there, so...
Well, hopefully somebody with PCA has flyers, and we can just hand them out.
We have flyers. That's very good. We have flyers right here in this offices here at 205 Teller Street. So just come by, and maybe if you're lucky, you'll get to take a peek at the studio. And,
yes.
Like, we've got a nice window here. I'm looking at the two mooks and a mic sitting on the other side of the window. There's Matt McGuire and Jim Thomas. They're going to be coming in here in a minute. With their show. And so with that, everybody,
we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Come back 11 to noon every Friday.
Inside Petaluma.
Oh, and go to our website.
InsidePetaluma.com.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
See everybody later.
Bye.